It is a tremendous privilege to be here. And I thank Pastor Roland and Home Missionary Baptist Church for inviting us for the good accommodations. I'm thankful for a spirit of unity and fellowship that I've felt, the mentions of prayer that folks have told me they've lifted up for me. I appreciate that. Thank you for it. I'm thankful for a faithful church in Traverse City and so many of its members to be here today. And that's a blessing to me very, very much. I'm thankful my wife was able to be with me. Not to be replaced. Not to replace the rock of my salvation, but I told her this morning, she's my rock. And I appreciate the fact that she's able to be here today. The card that we received concerning the conference asked, "Why stand ye here gazing?" And I went on to read that passage in Acts chapter 1. And we were instructed at the end of verse 11 that after the question, "Why stand you here gazing?" that this same Jesus Amen. Will return. Yes, will. And I think the implication, or at least how I took it, it's time to get to work. Until he returns is our time to work. Brother Hugin, I think, set the tone as we think on the conference and getting to work until the Lord returns. Don't minimize the Word of God. Don't despise or think little of the Word of God. It is our foundation. And Brother Gordon followed that, reminding us of our first priority. Be a spokesman, be a voice. Crying in this wilderness, Amen. Behold the Lamb. Well, that all tied together with a series that I'm in the middle of back home entitled Victory in Jesus. And that John chapter 16, and I invite your attention to John chapter 16 and verse 33. I'd been settled on this for some time and felt the Lord's leading in bringing you a message entitled Walking with God. We learn from John chapter 16 and verse 33 that he says that these things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Amen. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I want to walk with Him. He's overcome the world. He's demonstrated how to do that. As I keep saying back home, He gave us the blueprint on how to overcome the world. And if you go over to Matthew 4, I'm not going to turn there, where the adversary is trying to tempt the Lord, trying to disqualify Him by having Him to recant His loyalty and faithfulness to the Lord and to His Word. And of course, the Lord does just the opposite. He takes the Word and says, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And the adversary offers all the kingdoms, just bow before me. And He says, "I'm not going to bow before you. No way." And in that, a two-piece blueprint, by remaining loyal to His Father and standing on the Word of God, He has shown us how to be overcomers.
Amen.
And I'll define it, what I'm saying, to be, let us be overcomers. And by that I mean obedient and loyal to the Lord. Obedient to the Word of God and loyal to the Lord. Led by His Spirit, shaped by His Word, conformed to Him, not the world. We cannot be conformed to the world and at the same time be overcoming. To be overcome is to be shaped by the world. Have the priorities and mindsets and thought processes of the world. To be overcome is to be disobedient to the Word of God, disloyal to my Lord, putting other things before Him. The Lord showed us how to overcome. I want to walk with Him. And we know from 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9, for example, that that's going to be a battle. That the adversary is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If he can't get you disqualified by sin, he'll try to get you distracted by something else. And you can be overcome, and I can be overcome by these things. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, where we'll spend most of our time. Hebrews chapter 5. And in my series, I ran by 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, where we learn that faith is the victory. And we see that playing out in Hebrews. We see that playing out and how that faith enabled these men and women to serve the Lord. By faith, these men and women live for the Lord, overcoming the things of the world, overcoming the things that distract and detract, and overcoming fear and doubt and disloyalty. By faith is repeated over and over in Hebrews chapter 11. But of course, I'm confining my thoughts to walking with God. So we look at Hebrews chapter 11, of course, and go to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Put a mark there or hold your finger in Hebrews 11 and let's look at Moses' account of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. As we think on this morning, walking with God, because we know He's coming back. Walking with God, because the judge is returning. Genesis chapter 5, the account that we have of Enoch starts in verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Amen.
For God took him. If you begin to think on this passage of Scripture and see how that the writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Enoch. And we learn that Enoch walked with God 65 years. I'm sorry, Enoch was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. And I believe if you study the name of Methuselah, especially it shows up more in the Luke genealogy in the New Testament, but the old commentaries, the old concordances, reference the fact that Methuselah's name meant after his death, emission or judgment. The Old Testament word was man of the javelin, man of the dark. It's silently coming, and it will hit its target. And Methuselah, it would appear to me, I'm sorry, Enoch, it would appear to me, understood the name of his son. And for 300 years, he walked with God. He chose to walk with God. I've said this several times in our series back home. Enoch walked with God. He chose to. It was a choice that he made. For 300 years, walking with God so closely that God just brought him into his presence. He chose to live that way. You and I, and I don't say it lightly, and I certainly don't say it to just you, I say it to you and me. We are the sum total of our choices. I'm amazed sometimes at the choices that people try to blame, that they make, and then try to blame it on other people.
Right.
Try to blame the results on other people. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He chose to do so. And he did so with urgency, I think, because of an understanding of what Methuselah's name meant. And what encourages me in this is that Enoch, in verse 22, walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. He lived life. He didn't go into a cave and just wait for the Lord to take him home or die. He lived life. For 300 years, he walked with God, and apparently such a remarkable walk that the Lord said, you know, that whole aging thing, that whole process of getting older, the heartache. They lived to be 900-ish years old then, and he was taken out at 365, so he's spared centuries of heartache. Centuries of pain. And I say centuries of heartache and pain because I'm reminded of the words of Job. Man that comes forth from a woman is a few days and full of trouble.
Right.
I mean, the Bible doesn't record the life and times of Enoch. But I think Enoch remembers well those heartaches and those times when the child was taken in an accident or born without life. And Enoch and his wife would weep over that child. And as he's begotting sons and daughters and working to supply their needs and give them what they need to live, there would be seasons where the weather wasn't right and the crops were awful. What did Enoch do? He walked with God. He just walked with God. He just kept walking with God. And I see in his walk, I see in this text an urgency that takes over because judgment is coming. I heard one guy say about this text, think about every time Methuselah coughed or sneezed or had a fever. Honey, take care of that kid. After his death, judgment. Enoch, get away. Methuselah, get away from the ledge. You know, get out of that tree. Living constantly as if the Lord could bring judgment at any moment. That'll put an urgency in your step. An urgency that I know I desperately need. 300 years of choosing daily to walk with God. 300 years of choosing in good times and bad to walk with God. 300 years of choosing to be obedient to God. To be loyal to God. Not a time that he says, I don't have to put God first today. 300 years of just walking with God. 300 years of putting God as the priority of his life. Once in a while, I string together a couple days. And then the world gets a hold of me and I lose focus, get distracted. 300 years he walked with God. And then we have in Hebrews chapter 11, another man referenced. In verse 7. And we thought on Enoch and the urgency that he had in his life. An urgency, I think, that was born out of the realization judgment is coming. Now let's think a little bit about Noah. Verse 7. And again, like so many of these start, by faith. Oh, the enabling power of faith. The enabling power of just believing God. God said it. I know he meant it. That settles it.
Amen.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commanded, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So now we're given another example. Enoch walked with God, and we reference that a lot. By faith, Noah believed God. Noah believed God in things that had never yet been seen. Did you know that he had to Google what rain was? You know, did you know he had to... Oh, maybe he had an encyclopedia, you know. What is rain? What's an ark, you know? But he believed God. He believed God in things that had never come to pass, although God said it was about to. He believed God in things that he couldn't have fully understood since he'd never experienced anything like it. But he trusted God. He believed God and chose to walk with God in what we'll read in Genesis 6, a time of extreme wickedness and violence. And he just believed God. And he chose to walk with God. And he walked with God when nobody else was, or relatively, nearly nobody else was at the time walking with God. Look at Genesis chapter 6. We're thinking about walking with God until he returned, because this same Jesus that was taken from you will no doubt return. Genesis chapter 6, we'll pick up the reading in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Amen.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Man had made a wreck of that which he has created, and it broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
These are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. We run across that phrase again. Enoch walked with God, I believe, on the basis of an urgency, because of an understanding of his son Methuselah's name. And that urgency put fire in him for 300 years. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was called upon by God to build this ark. Noah, it says in verse 9, was a man that walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And he goes on to describe the building and construction of the ark. But what I want to draw to your attention is, again, verse 9. Noah walked with God. He chose to, by the way. So many times, and I've done this, I do this. And I'll ask the Lord for strength to help me overcome something. When what I need to do is get up and maybe turn something off or turn something else. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying. Lord, give me the strength to overcome this sin. What has to happen is I need to just walk away from that sin. Make the choice to get away and remove myself from it. Noah chose to walk with God. Not in this case 300 years, that was Enoch. But he walked with God to the preparing of an ark, to the saving of his family, when it would have made him a laughingstock. Noah's faith wasn't just a quiet faith. I'm just going to go off over here in my little corner and I'm going to live for the Lord. I don't have to interact with anybody. I don't have to tell anybody what I'm thinking or doing. It's pretty hard to hide an ark of that size. It's pretty hard. I'm going to say that backwards a couple times. It's pretty hard to hide an ark. But he chose to walk with God. And I draw your attention back and ask you to think, in Hebrews 11:7, why did God say, what was Noah commended for? Let's put it that way. By faith, Noah moved with fear,
amen,
prepared an ark. The basis of Noah's choosing to walk with God is given to us in Hebrews 11:7. And the basis for Enoch is somewhat inferred because of the name of Methuselah. And Enoch has urgency because judgment's coming. Noah moved with fear, not simply because judgment was coming, but that judgment was coming at the hands of a sovereign, all-knowing God.
Amen.
Two elements that I think are lacking in my life, in many of our lives. An urgency born out of the constant consideration that judgment's coming. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But do we? Do we walk in a constant realization of the judgment for the child of God, the judgment seat of Christ? Do we have the... could we be commended like Noah was commended, that we were moved with fear? It was a commendation. It was a healthy fear that was greatly needed. David musing in Psalm 36 says the transgression of the wicked. Psalm 36, first couple of verses. The transgression of the wicked, and here it is, have no fear of God before their eyes. They just do whatever they want because they have no fear of God. How many times do you and I do what we want. Because we, in practical ways, have no fear of God before our eyes. Because we're not thinking about the realization that He's coming back. Why stand you here gazing? It's time to get to work because He's coming back.
Amen.
And that's not just anybody. That's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge of all. And so these two things, this urgency and this healthy fear, motivated Enoch and Noah. Both of these men had a seriousness come over their lives that you and I need. Both of these men chose to walk with God. What does that mean? What does that look like? How does that live? Well, Amos reminds us that you can't walk together unless you be agreed in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. And it wasn't God's job to agree with us. I got to agree with Him. And it doesn't do any good if you don't. You're still wrong. By faith, these examples that we have in Hebrews 11, by faith they chose to agree with God in all things. For Enoch, in those valley times that would have come as you live life for 300 years on this earth, having sons and daughters and working to support them, and the things that would happen in the course of life. But he didn't blame God or disagree with God. On a daily basis for 300 years, he chose to agree with God. Whatever position God took, Enoch took. So things would come up in his family. There would be those in his family that you and I can relate with that, they're not exactly walking like we'd wish they'd walk. And then the tipping point question, what do I do? Do I condone this? Do I stand against this? Do I try to remain neutral? Whatever it was, Enoch chose for 300 years to agree with God. And sometimes he would have had to agree with God against his family. Sometimes he would have to agree with God against certain lifestyles. Sometimes he would have to agree with God and take sides against his own family. And he did so, not out of erroneous narrowness. He did so not out of hatred or meanness. He did so out of urgency. Judgment is coming. And Noah had to agree with God. You're going to flood the whole earth? I mean, you think that's fair? Don't you think that's a little bit overdoing it? No. He knew what God would do would be right.
Amen.
And he agreed with God.
Amen.
Because he was moved with fear, realizing that the Judge of all earth is coming to render perfect judgment. The same thing that you and I need. Urgency and a healthy fear to, in every situation, by faith, choose to agree with God. Sometimes that's going to make you on the unpopular side of the choice. Sometimes that's going to make, you know, Aunt Jemima mad at you for standing up against whatever. Or Uncle Ben, I'll pick on another food item. You're picking sides against sin, but standing in agreement with the Lord, and lovingly and respectfully and all those qualifiers that we always feel compelled to put in there, but stand in agreement with God. By faith, these men set the example and chose to do that. The Bible says so because they walked with God, and they couldn't walk with God unless they did. By faith, they chose to obey God in all things. By faith, they had an urgency about their obedience. They had a healthy fear that moved them. I really wouldn't mind doing this. I really wouldn't mind letting down in this area. I really wouldn't mind just kind of being really strong on this point, but this one causes me a lot of trouble, and I'll just kind of let it go and let it slide. And they didn't do that. Where the Lord would draw the line in the Word of God, they would have to draw the line in obedience to Him. And I know that they did, because they walked with God. And they couldn't have walked with God with any level of harmony unless they did. I know that by faith they chose to submit to God's will. Not grumbling, not complaining, not fussing at the Lord for the circumstances that has come into my life, maybe some kind of calamity, maybe some kind of heartache and pain, and yet for Enoch 300 years just walking with God, submitting to His will. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes the will of God is a tough road. Amen. But it's always right. You think about a man named Job, and you don't get to where Job was in the testimony that God said about Job. You don't get there easily. You don't get there quickly. You don't get there. A man that escheweth evil, feareth God and escheweth evil. A man that God holds up as an example. A man that, in I believe it was chapter 31, gives a whole litany of things. How could I possibly do these things? How could I set my eyes upon a maid, was one of them. And how could I do these things are not right. How could I possibly do that? You don't get there to that place quickly, easier, automatically. It many times comes through the furnace. But a submission has to be there to walk with God. And these men, given to us in Hebrews 11, for examples, walked with God. And they chose to. They chose to agree with God, obey God, submit themselves to God. Next, they chose to remain loyal to Him in all circumstances. One of the things that never really stood out to me, the adversary's temptation of the Lord, was his effort to make him disloyal to his father. Bow before me, I'll give you all this stuff. I'm not going to bow before you. I only bow before one. I came here not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. That's what I'm here to do. That's all I'm going to do. And He showed us the blueprint of overcoming obedience to the Word of God and loyalty to God in the process. And the examples that we have before us in Hebrews 11 between Enoch and Noah, they walked with God. And they had to remain loyal to do that. And it's easy to walk with God and remain loyal when the blessings are just showering down. It's easy when you're around like-minded people. It gets a little different when you go to work and have to stand against sin. And something I heard just a little bit ago reminds me of this. And I say this all the time back home at our church services when I'm preaching. Don't limit in your mind sin to immorality. Don't limit in your mind sin to sexual sins and perversions. Don't limit it to stealing and murder. And please include the rest of the Ten Commandments in your thinking and beyond that. But that gives you a good starting point that there can be sin in not putting the Lord first. There can be sin in not setting apart His day properly. There can be sin in not worshiping Him in the way that He has prescribed. There's a whole lot of sin in the Ten Commandments that have nothing to do with sexual immorality. And usually when we start pounding about sin, that's immediately what people think. Don't limit your thinking to that. And these men were walking in agreement with God. They were obedient to God. They were submitted to God. They were loyal to God. And they did so in good times and bad. And it's a whole lot easier in good times. Setting like this, a whole lot easier. I believe that we can imply that as they walked with God, we would naturally understand that they were men of consistency. Because of their constant urgency, because of, at least in Noah's case, a healthy fear of God, they were consistent in their walk. They were consistent. That urgency bore down upon them. That healthy fear propelled at least Noah. And that would lead to a life of walking with God consistently. And we need this in our lives as well. We need consistency. We see too many times where people are on fire for a week and do their own thing. And just not back and forth, back and forth. But they walked with God, and God's always moving at a consistent pace. And so He's there following Him, and they're consistent. Which means, I believe, they had a right focus, a right priority. They walked with God. Their priority was obeying and serving and living for Him. Their priority was bringing honor and glory to Him. Their priority was doing as He has commanded. Their priority was drawing the lines where He drew them. And this is a choice. A right focus, a right priority on a daily basis is one of the most difficult things you and I deal with. It was underscored last night very vividly the way that we can get distracted by the events of the world. We can get distracted by which party is doing what. We can get distracted by all the goings on in all things politics. But we can get distracted to a too far degree in all sorts of stuff. Shall I mention sports in Michigan? It's like mentioning basketball in Kentucky, right? Football in Michigan. But not limited to these things. What about the things that we get so engrossed in? Maybe it be what we watch on television. Maybe it be gaming. Maybe it be fishing. They all share a common problem. If we don't keep them very carefully in a proper arena, it grows until it becomes our focus.
Right.
And just like was mentioned last night, the emphasis there was more politics, and it can grow to come into too much priority in our lives, and we live and die by what's going on there. But that's probably, Brother Gordon, that's probably us old people watching the politics. The younger generation many times watching other stuff and focusing on entertainment or focusing on leisure or focusing on different things. And those things are not in and of themselves wrong as long as they're in the proper place and priority and the Lord is first. And these men walked with God. And they're held up for us as an example. And if they walked with God, they had to put Him first. And Enoch especially walked with God for 300 years so closely that the Lord removed him from this earth. And so he was making the choice on a daily basis to put the Lord first. And you succeed at that today and you got to do it again tomorrow. And you succeed at it tomorrow and you got to do it again the next day. Because the squirrel, right? The distractions of the world just take over. The distractions of the world can consume us. But if you're walking with God, you're striving for a right focus. If you're walking with God, you have the same goal as God. His honor. His glory. And these men chose to do that. I believe that walking with God indicates that these men were men of prayer. They had to stay in close touch with headquarters. I love Paul in Acts 9. Lord, what would thou have me do?
Amen.
I think it's the most oft quoted thing that I say in my prayer time. Lord, what would you have me do? I don't know. But these men chose to walk with God. And they had to be men of prayer. I mean, think about it. Enoch's motivation was urgency, and Noah's motivation was being moved with fear. They were walking in prayer. They would have had to have been. They would have had to have been, as they walked with God, men that would grow in the grace and knowledge of walking with God. That what an experience to grow, to be able to grow as you walk with God and have them to live hundreds of years and say, you know, back 300 years ago, back 200 years ago, back 175 years ago, I went through this and the Lord sustained me and I have no worries that the Lord can sustain me through this.
Amen.
And they grew as they walked with God. These are all elements that you and I need. To what practical end did these men walk with God? To what practical end do we hope for as we, I trust, try to make choices to walk with God? Well, the first practical end that we find in the Scriptures is that they pleased God. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good thing.
Amen.
I'd really... You know the kid that wants something? He's on his best behavior. Boy, I want that new bike for Christmas or whatever. I want this or that. He's on his best behavior. Mom, can I take out the garbage? Dad, you want me to help you cut the grass? Pleasing God. Well, that's a good outcome of walking with God. And the Bible says this, that Enoch pleased God. To what practical end? I thought of pleasing God. I thought of honoring God. Just to honor Him with my life. To have the ability, to have the testimony to say, what makes you different? Why do you walk like you walk? I love the Lord. He's been so good to me. Old Brother Kirkman, over and over. How are you doing today? I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm scripturally baptized. I'm a member of a New Testament Baptist church. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm in pretty good shape. He always said that. To what practical end do we walk with God? Well, we please God, we honor God, and we can be used of God more vivid, more boldly. What other practical outcome is there with walking with God? How about this? A whole lot less personal regret. Whenever I don't walk with God, I'll look back over that and I'll have regret. I suspect whenever you have walked in a way that was not consistent with how you knew the Lord wanted you to walk, you look back and say, oh, I regret that. I'll have to answer for that. I missed an opportunity to be used of the Lord because I did that. My witness wasn't nearly as effective because I involved myself with this when I wasn't walking with God. And I have regret. These men, how much regret do you think Enoch had? He walked with God. He pleased God. And God said, come on home! I don't think he was regretting much of that. So there's a lot of practical value in walking with God. Amen. Given the light of our verse in Acts chapter 1, this one that has just ascended is going to return. What practical value is walking with him in the interim? Well, I just said less personal regret. How about this? Less to give answer for. Because I will give answer for me. I always try to qualify that. I will not give an answer like our kids do when they're trying to cover something up. I'll give you an answer, maybe partly true, maybe nothing true. You know, I'm not going to give God that kind of answer. I'm not going to give an account like mine's one of many. I'm going to give account. I'm going to give answer. And Job's answer was, I think I'll lay my hand on my mouth. Right? I'm in the presence of God. So the practical end of walking with God, pleasing God, honoring God, being used of God, less personal regret, and less to give answer for. May God impress upon our hearts and work by the grace of God an urgency in us and a healthy fear in us, like our two examples in Hebrews 11, that we by faith rise above the things of the world and just walk with God, putting Him first. Because He is doubtless coming again.
Amen.
Brother Matt.
Amen.